Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country for your family, from your family and from your father's house to all the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, here's the deal. Let's get down to this. God chose this man for covenant, okay? He chose this man to be in covenant with him. And this man chose God. Am I right? Okay. So what we see then in the next chapters, from chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, we see God and Abraham working together, and we see them making covenant with one another. And the Bible says that God came in and he says, I'm going to make covenant with you. And Abraham believed it. And it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Amen. So he believed God. So it was counted. So now, because he believes God and he's saying okay with God, he's in right standing with God. That's what righteousness is, right? That sounded good there. Right standing. Now, go to Genesis 26:1. I want to show you something. There's a famine in the land. Y'all know this. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. That's Gaza. Now, Isaac, just in case you're new, is Abraham's son. Okay. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the covenant land. Stay where I tell you to stay. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands. I will give all these lands. I will give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and God never goes back on what he says. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands. Now remember, he's talking to Isaac. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because Abraham obeyed, because Abraham got in covenant with me, I'm going to do this for you. Blessed by association. Right? He's blessed by association. He's Abraham's kid. So God didn't say, because you're so sweet. He didn't. He said, because what Abraham did. Okay. So Abraham is the covenant representative here. Is this right? Okay. So he's blessed by association. So now that's in the days in the East when they made covenants, the tribes would get together and they would pick a representative. We pick representatives. Mm-hmm. I'll leave that alone. But it's supposed to be someone that everyone looks up to. Right. It's supposed to be the valiant one. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be the one with integrity. Right. It's supposed to be the one who can carry out the covenant like it needs to be covered out. And what they did was when they would have these covenant meals together, and they're going to make covenant. One tribe's going to make, you know, like in Africa or somewhere. We don't do it over here as much, except at the wedding ceremony is somewhat like this. But what they would do is they would trade, they would have a meal together. They would trade coats. They would trade weapons. They would trade all these things with each other. Names. They traded names with each other, right? And so they're making covenant, and they also traded blood, okay? So, and then they vow to protect each other unto death. Okay, so covenant keeping unto death and blood. Got it? All right, now, so God is a blesser. He conferred the blessing on Adam. But Adam broke covenant. Amen. Thank you, Deb, for agreeing with me. So he went to the next guys, and he blessed Noah. He blessed all of them. But when he got to Abraham, Abraham participated. He believed. He participated. He participated. Faith without works is dead. Okay. Now, so he participated with God. He got involved. So it stuck with Abraham. And so what then did Abraham do? He produced many sons. Are y'all following me? Y'all look like you really are. Y'all are real attentive today. Praise the Lord. Okay. So he's got all these offsprings. He's got many seeds, if you will. So now, once again, excuse me, those tribes chose the best covenant representative. They chose the one with integrity, the strength, and the loyalty. And the representative is exactly what represent means. He represents everyone to the other covenant partner. Wow. He represents everyone to the other covenant partner. Are you walking with me? Yeah. Okay, so praise the Lord. Here's the good news. We have a covenant representative. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. So, see, I'm showing you how we got here. Now, not only does he represent us, but he empowers us, he intercedes for us, and he has redeemed us. The word redeemed in the Greek, it's a word that means you were bought out of slavery. You've been set free. You're bought out of slavery. You belong to Jesus now. You were bought. The price was paid. You're bought out of that. Amen. Now that we said all that, Galatians 3:13. Right? You see where I'm going. Okay. This is fun, isn't it? Okay. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Got it? Amen. Christ has redeemed you, bought you out of the curse. There's no curse on us. You have been bought out. You have been paid for. So the only thing you could deal with the curse about is the lie of the curse. It would only be a lie if it's trying to trouble your life. It would only be a lie. Now, so we're redeemed from the curse. So the same blessing that was placed on Abraham came down through the Jews and then to Jesus. And then Jesus redeemed us from being godless. When it says the nations of the Gentiles, it really, church, Gentiles really means godless. Nowadays, it's the person who's not a Jew. But really and truly, if you back it up way back, it means godless or someone without God. Well, we're not without God. So the Jews call us the goys, you know. So, but I'm telling you, we've been redeemed. We're now a branch off of the vine here. Amen. Okay, so we, like Abraham, chose to believe. We are, now don't just go, well, of course, Pastor. No, I want you to think about this. We are believers. Right. We're believers.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I'm a believer, so what? See, you're in your head. You're a believer. Praise the Lord. I hope that sinks into you. We'll tighten that up here in a minute. Okay. So now let's back up then and get this. Go to verse 3 there in Galatians 3. Galatians 3:3. Ready? Okay. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see what it's saying? You believed. You got born again. You were saved because you believed in your heart. Now these Galatians are now starting to try to work their salvation out in their flesh. Okay? Okay. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, by believing, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all nations shall be blessed. What he's saying? He's saying, you did it by faith, and you're going to find out that the nations are going to end up doing it by faith. It's going to come on the scene. Now remember, this is before the law that he's even telling him this. Okay. So let's go to okay, verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So you're not going to get justified by trying to follow the law. All the laws that they came up with, right? Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. This is what we used to say, and it's true. If you live by the law, you're going to be judged by the law, and you're going to die by the law. But we don't live by the law. We live by faith. Okay? It's important. It's important to understand that. Okay, so yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Okay, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all are in Christ? Okay, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Got it? By faith. You're receiving Spirit of promise. You're receiving the blessing. The same blessing, the same empowerment to prosper that came on Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then his 12 sons, which made the 12 tribes. All of Joseph was one of them. All of these, the blessing was on their life and on their nation. That's why Jewish people are not broke. I remember hearing someone says, he was interviewing a Jewish man. He says, tell me how you were able to prosper. Tell me how you were able to be rich like this. Tell me what you did. And the Jewish man said, I don't understand the question. He said, no, tell me how you did this. He said, I don't understand that question. And he says, no, how, you know, you're rich. How did you get so wealthy? And the man says, I'm a Jew. Now, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Because it's who you are, not what you do. You're going to do because of who you are, but don't get those backwards. That's the trouble with the body of Christ. They want to turn everything around into a rule. Yeah. They want to turn everything around into, if you don't do this. But you got to understand it's who you are first, and then that nature of God comes out of you, and you're able to do what you need to do and want to do and help other people. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. So, praise the Lord. It said they were joined to their own works and efforts, and that's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. It always falls short if it's just your own effort, always. Hey, and listen, if you choose, if you want to find life by the law, you know, go right ahead. It's your choice. But then you'll need to obey the whole law. See, they couldn't do it. And I tell you all the time, God had to set up a sacrificial system before the Messiah came, in order before the Savior came, so that they could get free from their sinful, their sins. Church, people sin because they have a sinful nature. But you've been redeemed from that nature. You have a choice and an empowerment not to. And the reason why you would not want to is not because you're trying to earn God's love. It's because you're staying out of the path of the devil. Because there's enemy out there ready to condemn you and take you down the wrong path. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he's talking about holy living. He's not talking about you need to be perfect so God will love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do or not do to change that. But the truth is if you do what's right, do it right because it's right, you're keeping out of the path of the enemy. Right. He's going to try to snag you up, try to get you to do something, and then try to make you feel guilty about doing it. And then you feel guilty about doing it, and then you're like, oh, well, you throw your hands up and say, I might as well just go all the way with this. And that's the path. Okay. Now, that was a side note, but we'll get back here and get right on this. So, if you want a relationship with God, it's not going to be by earning it. We've established that. God's offered you a covenant. It's a covenant, and he's going to keep it. And your representative cannot fail. Jesus cannot fail. You need to think about that. Jesus cannot fail. God cannot fail. Jesus cannot fail. So you got two persons in covenant. Jesus represents you to the Father, and Father sees you like he sees Jesus.
Wow.
That was a really good thing.
Wow.
That's how he sees you, that representative. I praise the Lord. Me and Deborah were laughing last night. We were talking about, thank God, God sees us through Jesus. I plead the blood. Because we don't always do everything right. We don't say everything right. We don't get sometimes we don't get what we're trying to tell people across right. And it may not come out like we want it to. Things happen. But thank God for the blood. We're all right with God. We're all right with Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they can't fail. So he took all your past, all your present, and all your future failures to the cross. Yes, your future failures, they're all on the cross. All of them are. Oh, good, so I can just do nothing. No, you've been empowered to do everything. You get to. Everything they put their hand to prospered. Okay? Everything they put their hand to prospered, not their butt prospered on the couch. God will lead you and empower you and show you what to do. You'll get a desire. Hey, this is something I want to do. Since this is my assignment, I'm going after my assignment. And he'll prosper you in that assignment. Amen. So the blessing's on you. Now, verse 15, dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, or to his seed. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if he meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that, of course, means Christ. Abraham's seed is Christ, Jesus, right? This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. So it wasn't like God did this with Abraham and then he changed his mind and did this with the Israelites, and now he's changing his mind again. No, he's in covenant with us all. The law came to show them what sin was. But the law can't help you change. But grace helps you change. He had to do that with them because they were like, we don't want to talk to God. Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to. We're afraid of him. So just get the stuff and then we'll do it. See, they wanted to do everything with their flesh. You can't do this kingdom with your flesh. You have to be a spirit person. You have to be connected to God through your spirit, not through your mind, not through some kind of mental assent, but your heart has to receive. That's why when your heart is open and you're listening to the word, that's why healing comes. That's why prosperity comes. That's why change comes. That's why you feel better at 12:30 every Sunday, because the word came into your spirit and began to change you. That's why you should feel good every day when you listen to Nancy and Brother Copeland or whoever you listen to, Bill Johnson, whoever it is, whoever you that word going into your heart causes you to have victory. The covenant's working. You got to get that. If you take a shower, you'll get wet. Will you? You're not standing there going, hope I get wet, hope I get wet, hope I get wet, hope I get wet. No, you'll get wet. You'll have faith. You'll have faith. Okay, thank you, Lord. Stop trying to have faith. Stop trying to have faith. You have it. Feed it. You don't have to go, okay, am I healed yet? Am I healed yet? Just keep feeding. Just keep feeding. Just keep feeding. I have a testimony I can finally give you. I had some pains right here and going up into my neck and had some pains. And you don't preach what you're going through, so I had to wait till I'm done. But I started listening to E.W. Kenyon. And if you have something going on in your body, I highly recommend you go to YouTube and listen to E.W. Kenyon. It is hours of him telling you the truth. And I started listening to it. And the first day I listened to it, and I went, I feel better. But I wasn't going, let's see if I'm healed. Let's see if I'm healed. The second day, less than, and I'm healed. Amen. Now, what happened? I didn't try to get healed. I didn't try to have faith. I fed it. Amen. The word. He sent his word and healed you. He sent his word and prospered you. He sent his word. It's the word that changes you, church. Getting ahead of myself. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. All right. Now, I ended up right where I needed to be. Now, most of the time, the reason why you're not getting results is because your spirit's weak. You haven't fed it properly. See, here's the problem. You know the scriptures. You know the verses. You know you're saved. You know this. You know that. But the problem is it's just in here. Because I'm going to say something I've been saying to you for 23 years now. You can't live off the memory of a baked potato. You have to eat the word. You're like, well, I know. Bill, you remember we used to, you were the main person who tried to teach this to people all the time. Don't get into mental assent. Don't just get into thinking you have it. I could stand here right now. I know Jesus. I know Jesus heals. I know he'll heal everyone who receive it. I know he prospers people. But if I just know it here, it does not have the power to produce out here. The power to produce out here has to be fed. You can't go get in your car with the empty tank. It's the same thing. And you can't go put pink gas in it. Let's just put lemonade in today. It'll probably go. It's not going to go. You got to put the real stuff, the high octane stuff. And the high octane stuff is the word of God. Yeah. Won't work for two times. You don't eat twice a week. But here in about 7 days, you're going to come back from a meeting. Yeah. Some of you are going to be listening to this meeting, but many of you are going to this meeting, and you're going to have a different attitude. And it's going to become because your spirit's going to be overflowing Amen. From the word of God that was preached. Amen. And remember, the way Brother Copeland found this was he was trying to learn a new language, and he found out that if you immersed yourself in the language, you could pick it up really quick. He found out that if you did that with the word in your spirit, you would rise back up. So listen, we're our advertisement about the Southwest Believers Convention isn't just because we love Bill Johnson and Benny Hinn or all the people that are coming to that, and we love Brother Copeland, which I do. But the truth is we're doing this because we want you to get immersed enough so that everything works for you. Your faith is working. When you get immersed in the Word, it changes you. It changes you. Now, you don't have to go to a meeting to get immersed. You can do it every day of your life. And you should. But this really helps to go once a year. And, of course, we do other things. But I just want you to think about that. Amen. He sent His word. He sent His word. Now, in the state of grace that you live in, you have to stay on the victory side. You're going to have to stay on the victory side. And you have this covenant, and you have this God who wants to supply everything. So your job is going to be to get everything out of the way that hinders you so that you can receive what He's offering you. Amen. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. You just have to do the same thing. If you want to relate to Gabe, you have to pay attention. All you have to do is pay attention to God. Pay attention to the Spirit of God. And pay attention particularly on the Word that is being preached or spoken. Are you reading it out of the Word? Pay attention, and it'll start dropping down into your spirit. And all of a sudden, you'll go, hey, hey, I got this. Oh, mountain, get out of my way. It'll start working. Because faith works by an authoritative command launched from your spirit. It doesn't work by going, get out of my way now. Get out of my way, problem. Get out of my way, because Jesus said it over in Mark 11:23. No, it's coming from your spirit. Your spirit is full of something. And when your spirit is full of something, and it's full of the word, it's full of power, when you launch an authoritative command, it'll come to pass. The mountain will move. The tree will be moved. The sycamine tree will get out of your way. I'm sick of mine. He's sick of yours. Get it out of the way. These things will move by a seed of the word of God. You have to meditate on the word of God. So what's your job then? What's your job? Is your job just to worry? Is your job just to fret? Is your job just to spend hours trying to figure it out? Is your job to beg God? No. Your job is to put word in. Put word. Put word in. Put word in. And all of a sudden you'll go, I know the answer. I know where I'm going. Plus you have the law of draw. The law of draw will begin to bring in people and places and things that you need. Because your prosperity is connected to people. Your blessings are connected to people. And God has a way of bringing people along and making things show up and are giving you ideas, witty inventions, all these things that will cause you to change. But if you don't have anything in your spirit, you're not going to get it from God, which leaves you to just be out here with the law, to be out here with your flesh. But if you'll get over into the spirit and the word of God, the word's going to provide. Church, in the beginning was the word. When God said, light in me be, or me be, or light be, that was the word. And then he said, and he created all things by the spoken word. That's how you create, by the spoken word. And then what did he do? The word became flesh, and he fled. Jesus came in the flesh. He's the word. And what did the word do? Healed everybody, preached to everybody, rebuked the darkness, got rid of devils, walked on the water, turned water to wine. He did all these miracles. Why? Because he's the Word. Amen. The Word will not return void. Amen. When you speak the Word, it will not return void if it's coming from the Spirit. I done preached myself happy. You receive this today? You have enough of a measure of faith right now. Jesus told them, if you've got a seed, that's enough. Just sow it. Plant it. Plant it. Well, how do you plant something? By saying it. So I'm going to help you today. You have to meditate the truth instead of worrying about fears. What are we going to do? How are we going to do? How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? That is not going to help you. You might as well just step over on Easy Street and let God help you. Amen. Healing is mine because it was paid for. So I resist sickness the same way I resist sin. I do not live by how I feel. I live by the truth of God's word. My body responds to the anointing of healing that is mine. The life of Christ permeates every fiber of my being. Do you believe that? Say it with me. My body responds to the anointing of healing that is mine. The life of Christ permeates every fiber of my being. Okay. Don't repeat now after this. My confession aligns with what God says about me. My confession aligns with what God says about me. I enforce victory over my health. I enforce victory over my wealth. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness. I walk in reality of redemption. I live in the victory of the empty tomb. My body obeys the voice of the Word of God. The joy of the Lord strengthens my immune system. I'm covered by the blood that speaks better things. I have peace in my mind and strength in my bones. My healing is not delayed. It is now. Every symptom bows to the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God breathes life into my bones. I am energized. Christ redeemed me from every curse. I am God's temple. I will not house disease. The greater one keeps me whole. My faith draws on the life of God. The word of faith in my mouth activates healing in my body. My health is secured in the covenant blood of Jesus. I live in the power of indestructible life. Well, yeah, I don't see how you can say that. Well, I'll tell you how. By faith. Okay. So, I'm not trying to be healed. I am healed. I'm not trying to be. Look, your healing was already paid for. Peter told us that, right? Yeah. By his stripes, you were healed. Look, this is. Thank God that God gave us doctors. I'm not discounting that. They will help you, but sometimes they can't help you. There's places you could get to where they would have to say, you're going to just have to get comfortable or whatever. But God can. I thank God that can fix up your broken bone and all those kind of things. And I thank God for vitamins. If you saw the vitamins I take every day, I thank God for them. So we do what we know to do naturally, but the basic bottom line is that you are healed. And it's in your spirit. Church, sin is an effect that has to do, it's in the spirit. So is sickness. People, you're like, oh, it's just my body. Well, your body's connected to you. You're trying to live in it. Now, okay, so I receive divine nourishment from the presence of God. My health springs forth speedily like the morning light. You know, just saying this will make you feel better. I believe the testimony of the Lord over the diagnosis of man. So, listen, you could get, according to the flesh, you could get what the doctor would say is a correct diagnosis. They knew what they were talking about. But there's something that supersedes that, and that would be God's healing power. Exactly. So, and then sometimes they get it wrong. But whether it's right or wrong, that's not the point here. The point here is God is bigger than any situation you can be in. I see my body through the lens of divine restoration. Every fiber of my being responds to the word of faith. My body is not a battleground. It's a place of peace. Healing is not something I chase. It's something I carry. Every cell is programmed by the code of the cross. The word of God is more real than the pain I feel. The Spirit of God broods over my body like He did the waters. I speak life, not limitation. I declare restoration wherever there has been degeneration, destruction, loss, or theft. Wherever you've lost, wherever it's been stolen from you, we know who the thief is. John 10:10, draw the John 10:10 line. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life more abundant. That's how you keep the truth right in your mind. God does not have sickness. He's not putting it on you. That comes from the enemy. That comes from the dark spirit. Amen. So if you've been stolen from, I got good news for you. You can recover. Amen. I like this one. I call my energy back from every draining thought and memory. I no longer normalize dysfunction. I replace it with divine order. I carry no aches or hurt emotions. Everything is exposed to healing light. I celebrate every recovery and victory, no matter how small. I do not rehearse what went wrong. I declare what is right. That is such a big one. How many times are we going to go over and over how we failed? Well, if I'd only, if I get over it. Jesus already has. I release the pressure to be strong in myself and lean into strength. You don't have to be strong in yourself. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So says the scripture. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Yes. I radiate gratitude and it draws healing and victories faster. Come on. Come on. Isn't that the truth? The way you enter the gates, the way you start talking to God is through gratitude. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, nothing right goes with me. Well, you're breathing today and you're here.
That's right.
See, I do not cover symptoms with silence. Just like thoughts, you have to talk to thoughts and you have to talk to symptoms. You are a speaking spirit. You are a creative speaking spirit. So you must use your creative words, which is God's word, to create your future, to create what you want. So if you're going to cry about everything and hem and haw, and I don't know why this happened to me. I'm just on the wrong track. I just feel so bad. I just can't go in. You're on the wrong trail.
That's right.
I do not cover the symptoms with silence. I confront them with truth. I partner with Holy Spirit to restore what life tried to destroy. My daily routines flow with divine assistance. I'm far from oppression. No weapon formed against me will prosper.
Thank you, Lord.
I recognize my place in God. I have divine peace and rest. I am aware of God's love, protection, provision, and presence. I refuse to carry burdens. I cast all on Jesus. God's word keeps me steady in every situation. I am not cursed. I'm blessed. Hey, if I buy you a new car, are you just going to let it sit there? You're not. You're going to get in that car and you're going to play with every bell and whistle. Because if I buy a car, it's going to have all the bells and whistles. Got to have all that good stuff. Right? You want to see? Don't y'all like the camera so that when you're backing up and all that, you can see everything? And I like the Lexuses. They have the cameras from high, so you can see from. It looks like it's from the top of your car. They're really under here. They told me at the dealer, but you can see everything. You know where you're going. You see if you parked in the parking place right, which I really need help with that. Thank God for cameras. The mirrors tilt in and out when you want to. Your phone call comes in over that. I'm like, okay, y'all. Y'all are like, what are you going on and on about that for? Well, guys, I wasn't raised with that. Okay? We had these old Chevys, and my dad figured out how to make an air conditioner. That's right. We cranked the windows. My dad figured out to make an air conditioner in our car, and he put it in the back seat, and so there's four kids, you know? Yeah. And so we're all sitting back there in those wool seats. Does anybody remember that stuff? And you're sitting back there, you know, in that old car. And Dad, he was like an inventor. I mean, he was in the day where electric motors were kind of like computers are today. He was on that wave. And so he invented this thing, and he put it in the window and rolled it up in there. And so we're cooling, and we're driving down the road, and we're cooling. I was just a little bitty kid. But the interesting thing was every time we'd go around a corner, it'd splash water on us. My dad is great. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, tell him we talked about him today. Praise the Lord. So, but you're going to get in that car. You're going to drive it. Well, get in this.
Yes.
Get in Christ. Get in what you have with this. Hey, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Just get in there. Just try it. I'm even going to say that. I shouldn't, but I will. You should just go ahead and get in faith and do what it takes to get in faith. Drive the thing. Amen? So, I made you something. 30 of you, because I figured that's about how many would actually do it. I made you a 21-day turnaround. So, those of you online, I apologize. We'll figure out how to get you something. But if you want to do this and commit to 21 days, it's everything I just read to you, front and back. Now, listen, they say that you can change your habits and stuff in 21 days. And don't come up to me after church and say, now, Pastor, they've disproved that. And now this God told me 21 days.
Amen.
Okay? Okay. But if you want one of these, they'll be right here. We're not going to keep a camera on you to see who did it and who didn't. I'm just telling you that you're blessed.
Yes.
But you need to move all the junk out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of all the stuff that's weighing you down.
Right.
And if you do this for about 21 days, and especially if you're listening to the convention on top of that, you're going to see some success.
Amen.
And, you know, there's a number of people saying, why am I not seeing success? I just don't get it. I just spent 30-something minutes telling you why.
Yeah.
It's this simple. This can just become your job assignment. After you do this, you can get the job of your dreams. Your body can get healed. Well, I just don't believe that. That's because you're on day one. Wait till you get to day 21.
Preach,
It will. The confession, this changes people. People in the world do this, the power of positive thinking. But we have a different power because our power is alive today. He has life. And these are things that came out of the scripture. These are things that came out of the scripture. This is not just me making up stuff. This is stuff that came out of the scripture. So I'm telling you, I've done this for years and years, and that's why today I can say I've had a whole lot of success. And so to be debt-free, we have a debt-free church, we have debt-free cars, we have debt-free house, we have debt-free everything. And you can be debt-free, and you can have money. And listen, if you're debt-free, even if your paycheck wasn't huge, it's way more when you're debt-free. But you can have a big paycheck, too. Money can come from all sorts of sources. I know, you know, there's all the people, the prosperity message and the prosperity speakers and all that. But Danny was telling me about Steve Harvey. Y'all know who he is. He's a Christian, you know. And he said, I don't know why they're against all that stuff because, I mean, from what I can see in the Bible, we're supposed to... Help me out a little bit if I'm telling it wrong, but it looks like we need to have money if we're going to help people, basically, is what he said, right? Huh? Yeah, the perspective of him, you know. I mean, if you're going to help people, you got to have something. So, you know, they can be mad at us and try to persecute us if they want to, but we're helping people. We helped people in the flood. We helped people over in Kerrville. We helped people up here in Burnett. We're going to help some people out here. We helped people in Smithwick the day it was happening. We helped people because we had something during all the floods. We've helped people. The newest church, Uruguay. We have a new church in Uruguay that that they're putting up right now. They're making them, but we're building 50 churches in 5 years. You are. The money goes to that every month. You helped Israel. There was a large sum that we just sent to Israel for all the stuff that's gone on for them. We're able to do that because we're not tied down with a bunch of bills and a bunch of stuff. If God called you today to go somewhere, could you go? Well, you can answer that question in about 21 days. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we're blessed. Now, in the name of Jesus, by the anointing of God, I break every lie of the curse off your life. I plead the precious blood of Jesus over you. Your past failures are gone, and failure is over today. Today, strength will start to arise in your inner being, and it will come forth to your natural body. Joy will rise up. Finances will begin to flow. The thief system and participants will be dismantled. You begin a deeper journey today of realizing who you are. You are fit for the master's use in the name of Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen and stand up, please. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.